Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
You know, we live in a world of a lot of make-believe, and people like their movies. They like their television, and, they like getting lost in pretend land. But this is reality, and I think sometimes, we can get so in what I call la-la land, where we're so used to just acting and make-believe that it becomes difficult to distinguish between make-believe and reality. And we subconsciously treat things that are real as though they're not really real. But this is a real story. This really happened. This is an amazing, amazing thing to know that God came to earth in the person of Jesus Christ, that God put on flesh. In fact, before we go to Matthew, I'm going to take you to John chapter 1, because John starts out by revealing the deity of Jesus, that Jesus was God come in the flesh. And I didn't know that growing up. You know, I went to a religious school and Christian school and things, but I didn't know that. That was just, I just thought, well, Jesus is, in fact, I didn't really think too much about who Jesus was, other than the fact of, that he was someone that loved me and died for me on the cross, and he rose from the dead, and that's important. And that's about as far as I went with it growing up. But I was amazed to find out that Jesus was God from eternity past. Even though he was born a man 2,000 years ago, the spirit of Jesus has been from eternity past. He's been forever. And that's just so amazing. That just makes it mean so much more when you think about Jesus, that it's God. God that created the planets, God that formed you and I in our mother's womb, the God that provides us with the air that we breathe. I mean, this God emptied himself of all his divine power and glory and limited himself to a human body, became a man just like you and I. And that's just so amazing to think about. Think about the people of his day, that rubbed shoulders with him, that walked past him. I mean, there's folks that had no idea who was right there in front of them. I think now, people that are now, they're over in eternity, all that whole generation that was alive in Jesus' day, I think about what some of them must be thinking now, I mean, how about the guy that cut Jesus off on the road with his donkey? You think about that. I mean, he starts yelling at Jesus for driving too slow, Cuts him off, goes around him, because Jesus is just kind of moving along slowly down the road. And now he's in eternity going, I cut God off. I mean, that's got to be pretty scary, But what an awesome thing. He walked around God in the flesh like that. And it tells you a lot about God's feeling towards mankind, that he would do such a thing, that he would become a human being like you and I. It tells us of how much we mean to him, how important mankind is to the plan of God, how much he really does, in fact, love you, how much he loves you and I. Bible says in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe on him would not perish, but have eternal life. God gave us himself. He gave us his life. He became a human being because of this incredible love he has for you and I. And when you really understand God's love for you, that's when you'll have great faith in God. When you know how much he loves you, you will trust him with your life. You'll be able to give him your entire life because you realize this God loves me so much. I know that no evil can befall me. Nothing evil can happen to me. I know that God will protect me. And somebody says, well, why do evil things happen in the world? Well, not everybody in the world believes God like that. Not everybody trusts in him for their protection like that. A lot of people are kind of light about it. Yeah, oh yeah, I believe God will protect me. But in their heart of hearts, do they really, really know that? And a lot of times the answer really is no, they really don't. They really don't really, really know that. They don't really know for sure, is he going to be there for me? Is he going to protect me? Is he going to prosper me? Is he going to help me through life? And so that's why a lot of people make provision for themselves to protect themselves, to guard themselves, and to save themselves, to help themselves in life. But the more you trust in him, the more you can let go of your life and cast all your cares upon him. Jesus said, cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. When you know how much he cares for you, that's when you can cast all your cares on him. All of them. Not just a few of them. Oh, you have any cares this morning? Any cares lately? Well, we can take them all. When we know how much God loves us, how much he cares about us, we can take them and just cast them on him and say, Lord, I thank you take care of that care for me, that you perfect that which concerns me. I give it to you. I give it to you. What an awesome, awesome thing. Amen? To know that we can trust him like that. We can know that he cares for us. Why? Because he became a human being just like us. And then he took on all our sins. He took the full wrath for sin upon himself. Has anybody sinned? You don't have to raise your hand. We know the answer anyway. You just go through the commandments, you know. Have you ever lied? Have you ever taken anything that didn't belong to you? I mean, ever, your whole life. You ever take something that didn't belong? Have you ever used God's name in vain? You know, and we just can just go through the Ten Commandments and find out we're in pretty bad shape. You know, a lot of folks think, well, I think I'm good with God. Just go through the Ten Commandments. Let's see how good you are. You come to find out you're a criminal. You're a criminal in the sight of God. And where do criminals go? They go to prison. And the prison that spiritual criminals go is an eternal prison known as hell. It's a real place. It's a place of unending torment. And God doesn't want anybody to have to go there. So guess what he did? He came. He paid for our crimes. And then he went there himself. That's where he was for 3 days. He descended down into the heart of the earth and took the full punishment for sin upon himself. Not his own sins, because he himself had never sinned. Because he became a man, he was tempted at all points, but yet Jesus resisted sin. He never once disobeyed God the Father. That's an awesome thing. He attempted just like you and I. I mean, he knew how to get tired. He knew how to get hungry. He knew how to feel irritated. He got frustrated at times with his disciples and the way they acted and their unbelief. And I mean, you know, so you know, he knew what it was like to be agitated and frustrated and tempted to sin. But yet Jesus never once sinned. Never once. And so he was able to become a perfect sacrifice for you and I. And so he took the punishment for our crimes upon himself so that we could be justified. God couldn't just forgive mankind. He had to justify mankind because God does everything legally. You know, you hear people say that a lot. They say, well, now, you know, I just believe God could do whatever he wants to do whenever he wants to do it. But that's not true. Well, if God wanted to stop that bad thing from happening, he would have stopped it from happening. Well, if God wanted me to have this nice good thing, I just believe I'd have it if God wanted me to have it. Have you ever heard things like that? Yeah, and you know who says that the most? Christians. And you know what? It's complete error. It's absolutely not the truth. If God could do whatever he wanted to do, whenever he wanted to do it, then why didn't he just go ahead and forgive mankind? Why did he put on flesh and blood and allow himself to be beaten, tortured, and nailed to a cross. Why did he go through all that if he could just forgive us? If he can just do whatever he wants, whatever he wants to do it. See, even though God has the power to do whatever he wants to do, whenever he wants to do it, he can't just do it legally. God does everything legally. And so mankind had sinned, had become the property of Satan. We were separated from him. And the only way God could get us back, think about this, the only way God could get us back is he had to buy us back. And he bought us with the blood of himself, the blood of his son, Jesus, the sinless son of God. God couldn't just say, oh, I'll take that, you're mine, I'm God, everything's mine. No, he had to buy us back. He had to redeem us to himself. He couldn't just step into, well, God, if he wants to save us, he could save us. No. So we have a free will, and so now we have to cooperate with what he did for us. For God to be able to apply what he did for us at the cross 2,000 years ago, we have to believe it with our hearts and receive it. We have to access it by faith. We have to take hold of it by faith. And it's only when a person takes hold of what Jesus did for them by faith that they are at that point saved. At that point, their sins are washed. They are declared righteous in the sight of God. They receive the Holy Spirit, and now they have eternal life. And they know that if they were to die today, they're going to heaven. Why? Because Jesus is their Lord. Hallelujah. And the devil's very real. You know, the Bible says he walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's trying to devour your life. He would love to steal from you. He would love for you to have a miserable day today. He would love for everything to go wrong about your life. I mean, that's just the devil. He's just nuts. He's a crazy devil. And that's what he wants. But what's exciting is he cannot legally touch you. When you understand that you don't belong to him anymore, that someone else bought you, and now you are the property of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is your Lord, and you can stand up in the face of the devil and in the face of adversity, and you can tell the devil, devil, in the name of Jesus, I resist you. We will not be sick in this house. We will not be broke in the name of Jesus. Our lives are going to work out, and no weapon of yours formed against us is going to prosper. Now that's the rights and privileges we have now through faith in Jesus because of what he did for us. Nothing of ours belongs to him anymore. That just pumps me up. That allows me to go through life confident. I don't have to go through life thinking, well, stuff just happens. Well, whatever happens, happens. And folks just go through life as victims. Whatever happens, happens. And like they have no control over anything. Well, God's in control. No, that's not what the Bible says. Bible doesn't talk as much about God being in control as it talks about us having self-control. See? No, we got to take control. See, because he's given us his name. He's given us authority, and legally, this is how God does it, he works through our faith, our believing without doubting, our declaring the truth of what he says in his word. That's how it works now. And so we have to cooperate with that plan. And the devil will try things. Life will try to make things hard on us. Thank God you and I can rise up, and through faith and patience, perseverance, we can press through the adversity of life, and there's nothing we can't overcome. There's nothing we can't overcome. The Bible says that Christ Jesus always leads us in triumph. Always. Everybody say always.
Always,
always leads us into the victory. All the time. If we'll follow him. Now, he don't force us into the victory. God don't force anything. That's one thing we got to know about him, is he does not force, he does not push. That's why Jesus is called the Lamb of God. You know, he's just gentle, and he's tender, and he's not going to force us. He's not going to push us. Now, when it comes to the devil, and when you stand up in the name of Jesus to take authority over the devil, then the lamb becomes the lion of the tribe of Judah. See, that's when he'll pull his fangs out on the devil. And Jesus will be behind you, and his fangs will come out, and he'll start to huff and puff, and you'll see the devil just start backing away, and you'll turn around to look, and when you look, there'll be a lamb there smiling at you. And then you look back, and the devil's just trembling, because what he sees is the lion. Hallelujah. He sees the lion, praise God. But you and I see the lamb. We don't have to be intimidated anymore. We can be comfortable with God. We can have a relationship with him. We can draw near to him without being afraid of him. Glory to God. Because we know how much he loves us, how tender he is towards us. He's not pushing us. He's not forcing us. And God isn't angry with us. God's in love with us. He's angry at the devil. But he's in love with us. He's in love with you and I. He wants us. But if we don't cooperate, if we say, well, I don't know about all that. I just believe God can do whatever he wants to do, And then the devil comes in and starts doing a bunch of things in our life. And we turn around and say, well, I guess it must be the will of God. Well, see, now God's put this sickness on you to teach you something. Well, you're not going to call. You know, if a criminal breaks into your house, starts robbing your house, and somehow in your mind you don't think it's a criminal, you think it's the son you never knew. You know, you look, you got this guy, he's ransacking your house, and you go, well, maybe he's my son. I don't know. Then you're not going to call the police, right? You're going to just let him keep robbing you, ransacking your house. But when you know that's a criminal, and you know it's not lawful for that criminal to be in your house touching your stuff, then what do? You take action. You do something about it. And guess what? If you don't, what happens? You get ransacked. That's what happens. You get taken advantage of. But if you run over and take out the shotgun, you run over to the phone and you call 911 or however you want to handle it. If you do something about it, praise God, then you can drive that guy out of your house. But we got church folks being taught and believing that, well, I just believe it's God. And meanwhile, it's the devil. It's the devil. It isn't God. And God has given us his word and his spirit and this incredible story of how he gave his life for us so that we can have some sense about us and rise up and say, blessed God, I'm the redeemed of the Lord. I've been bought with the blood of Jesus. Life is not the way it's always been. I'm not a victim anymore. Through Christ Jesus, I am more than a conqueror. Through him loving me, praise God, I'm going to be led through triumph, and I'm not going to settle for anything less. Because whatever we settle for, that's what we're going to have. That's what we're going to have. But thank God there's things we don't have to settle for. Bible says over in Matthew 18, Jesus said this. In verse 18, he said, assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father, where? In heaven. Now notice how those two things go together. Look at verse 18 again. Surely I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Who's in heaven? Our Father, right? Isn't that what Jesus said? It will be done for you, verse 19, it'll be done for you by my Father. Whatever you ask, it'll be done for you by my Father in heaven. So verse 18, he's saying, whatever you bind on earth, that's where we are. Whatever action you take on earth, heaven will back you up. Whatever you bind on earth, heaven will make sure it's bound. Your heavenly Father will make sure it's bound. Whatever you loose on earth, your heavenly Father is going to make sure that it will be. It will be. It'll be loosed for you. Whatever you ask, he says in verse 19, whatever you ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Isn't that powerful? Now, again, this asking is, now this is what we have to understand. This asking isn't a wishing and a hoping. It isn't, God, take care of this situation, please. And then we walk away, I hope he does. And then we get on Facebook and we ask people, but ask God, everybody pray. Everybody pray. I need everybody to pray. Why? Because I don't know if he heard me. I don't know if he's going to do it for me. But if we can get enough people, it's kind of like tug of war. If we can get enough people on earth to grab a hold of the rope and pull, we can force this hard-to-please, angry God to just drop a little something out of heaven for us. If we all squeeze hard enough, we might get a couple drops, but we're not really sure. Friend, that's over. That is not faith in God. That is not confidence in God. That is uncertainty. That is worry. There's no faith in that. You're not sure. Why? Because you don't know. You don't know how he feels about you. You don't know how much he cares for you. If he did not withhold his only son, but delivered him up for us, how will he not with him also freely give us all things to enjoy? Think about it. I don't know if God gave me this. He gave you his son. He gave you his life. He poured out his blood for you, became human and poured out his blood for you. How could you doubt that he would withhold any good thing from you after that? See, we got to understand. This isn't just a story. This is reality. This is God. This is who he is. This is what he's all about. This is how he feels about you and I. God is in love with me. Well, you don't know what I did. Well, you don't know him, what he did. He became a person while you were yet a sinner. And he died for your sins. He doesn't condemn you. He died for you. So why would you get condemned over your sin? Why wouldn't you just freely receive the gift that he gives you, the gift of forgiveness that he paid for you to be able to have? God wants you to have it. If you mess up, you know, and you know, here's the thing too, I tell folks that if you miss it, you know, you miss it. You're a Christian, you miss it. Got into sin, got away from God, backslid, whatever the situation might be. I always tell folks, you know, God knew what he was getting into when he died for you in the first place. You know, God's in this for the long haul. He understands. He understood when he died for you that you might need forgiveness more than once. He understood that. He understood the day that you got saved, the day that you were born again in your spirit, he understood that before you get to heaven, there was a lot of work that needs to go on from here to here. So why be so impressed with the wrong you've done? Why not just be impressed with his goodness and his foreknowledge, knowing what he did for you, knowing what he was getting into when he died for you? when he made you the love of his life, he knew what he was getting into. Isn't that awesome? God's in it for the long haul. Now, we don't just sit back and say, well, I'm forgiven, praise God. And then we just keep acting like ding-dongs. Now, that'd be just dumb, wouldn't it? I mean, he does this for you, and then you're just going to stay. No, everything changes now. It's over, man. Old things are dead and buried. They are passed away, and now everything is new in my life. Everything's new. It's not going to be the same anymore. It's a new life, man. I am born again, born all over again from the inside out. I'm being changed from the inside out. So now what are we going to do? We're going to walk with God, and we're going to grow in our faith. We're going to grow in our understanding of his love for us and get to the place that we have total confidence that we could stand before him, ask for something, knowing that we receive it. We need to have the attitude, I get all my prayers answered. It should never be, well, sometimes they happen. It's kind of like Lotto. It's kind of like the machine, you know. That machine, is that Lotto? Or is that the balls that pop up? You know, it's kind of, you never know. You're just kind of sitting there waiting. You know, you prayed. You bought your ticket. Scratched it. And now we're waiting to see if our number comes up, if God's actually going to do something. And a lot of times, it'll never happen. So it doesn't happen that way. It doesn't happen by hoping and wishing. It happens by being fully convinced. Because, you know, not to be fully convinced of what he's done for you, to doubt him, is really to dishonor him. Now, that doesn't mean he's offended at you, but legally, he can't work in your life when you're doubting him. See, again, it's all through... There's all legalities involved here. God just doesn't do whatever he wants to do whenever he wants to do it. He does everything legally. So we got to cooperate with his laws. Faith is a law. Faith is a law. It says that over in Romans, the 3rd chapter. Verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, if you ask people, why did Jesus die? They say, well, he died for my sins. And that isn't wrong, but yet it's not fully right. Because Jesus, he didn't really die for our sins. He died to reconnect us to the glory of God that we had fallen from. And to do that, he died for our sins. He took our sins upon himself. He had to remove the sin so that now you and I have access to his glory once again. And his glory is himself. It's his awesomeness. It's his power. It's his goodness. It's all that he is, all that he has in manifestation. And now, that's what man fell from, but now Jesus came because we fell from that glory. So he took away the sin to reconnect us to the glory. That's why he came. Because if you just stop and say, well, he died for my sins, then that's where you stop. Well, he took my sins. You stop. And you don't go on to the glory. You don't go on into experience the awesome of God, which is where religion is. Religion just stops with the message of sin. But the Bible is more of a message about the glory of God and man being reconnected to it than about sin. Sin was just something Jesus had to take care of to get us connected to the glory. You follow me? So we have to remember that. That's the main thing. Praise God, through Jesus, I get reconnected with God. That's why his name is Emmanuel, which means God with us. Whoo, hallelujah. Somebody say, God is with me. Yeah, and if God is with us, then God is for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah, who can be against you? Who could stand against you when you know God's backing you up? It's like something tries to happen in your life that's contrary to the word of God, contrary to the goodness of God, contrary to God's will for your life. Thank God we can know the will of God. We got the word. Something contrary to that tries to happen, and we just look back, and we see God right here. He's with us. He's for us. And we just look back at those negative things and say, what, are you kidding me? You're going to mess with me. You're going to touch me. I remember I woke up with pink eye one time. I looked in the mirror, I had pink eye. I was stunned. I said, devil, you understand you just poked God in the eye? Because when you messed with me, you messed with him. Now get out of here in Jesus' name before you get hurt. And man, my eyes just cleared right up. You know, over the hour, it just cleared right up. Praise God, that's happened more than one time. See, but that's standing up for yourself in Christ. In the name of Jesus, you can stand up for yourself. You're not a victim anymore. But if you don't know that, see, you'll just let the devil ransack the house. Isn't that powerful? Oh, hallelujah, this is good news. That's why this is such good news. We've got authority over the devil. We've got authority over darkness. We've got authority over sin. I mean, we've been reconnected to heaven. We got the creator of all things. And then the devil tries to come along and tempt us. Next thing you know, these temptations come. These crazy thoughts come. You just got to rise up and recognize where they're coming from. And say, what, are you kidding me? I got heaven's diamond. I got God Almighty. I got the creator of all things. What thing could you tempt me with? Right? It just absolutely wipes out temptation when you understand who you're connected with, who is for you, what you have access into, what belongs to you through faith in Jesus. Powerful. This is where Christians, I tell you, if Christians were walking in the real truth, the Word of God, the world would look a whole lot different today. We would absolutely change this world. But too many are walking around as victims saying, well, you never know with God. He's sovereign. Sometimes he kicks you in the head. Sometimes he heals you. You never know. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And they'll take a little scripture here over here in Job or something like that. And they'll talk about Job's boils and Paul's thorn. And then they'll build a whole doctrine about how it's God's will to beat you up, to teach you something. But no, that's just not the way it is, friend. Hallelujah, I wish I had time to talk about the boils of Job and the thorns. But we just don't have time. I'd love to do it. You can tell. I'd love to do it. I just can't. I gotta contain it. I'm sure we got a series out there you can get your hands on. Somebody say, I got the victory. Through my Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah, Romans chapter 3. Verse 24, being justified, see, not just forgiven, but justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be the propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded or is eliminated by what law? Of works? In other words, by your good works? By you being a good person, you're reconnected to God, and because of your good works now, you are able to receive from God in prayer? No. It's not according to works. But notice what he says. No, but by what? The law of faith. The law of faith. Everybody say faith is a law. Faith is a law. We have to cooperate with these spiritual laws that are in the Word of God. We got to cooperate with the law of faith, because God is just. He doesn't just do whatever he wants to do. If God did just what he wanted to do, everybody would be saved and we'd all be in paradise right now. If God wanted, you know, he just did what he wanted to do. He doesn't want people suffering. God doesn't want people suffering. God doesn't want people hurting. There's some folks maybe in this room, you've gone through some terrible things. Growing up, seen some terrible things. God didn't want that. He didn't want that. He said, well, why did it happen then? Well, there's a lot of reasons. But I can tell you right now, it's not because God wanted it to happen. But here's the good news. Whatever was meant for evil against you, God can turn it all around. He can completely turn around. And he can cause that thing that the devil meant for evil against you to backfire on him and turn out for your good. Everything. I don't care what has happened to you. God could take it, turn around, and actually turn it around for your good. It becomes a testimony, and God ends up using that thing to empower you in life and put you over in life, and he'll so bless you because of that thing that he'll make the devil regret that he ever messed with you and did it to you. I'm telling you, that's the kind of God we're talking about this morning. That's the baby in the manger we're talking about here this morning. He'll so turn it around. All you got to do is know what I'm saying is the truth. It is the word of God, and believe it. Believe it and have a boldness about you in your believing and say, nope, God's turning that thing, that tormenting, terrible thing that happened. He's turning all that around for my good because that's what he wants, and I believe it. And your believing is you activating the law of faith. And when you access the law of faith, it works every time. It works every time. Hallelujah. It works every time, just like the law of gravity. If I let go of this, who would say it's going to float? Huh? Anybody? I mean, who would think, if I let go of this, how many people think it's going to begin to rise and go up to the roof? How many believe if I let go of this, it's going to fall flat on the pulpit here? Podium. Huh? Some of you are a little timid about it. I don't know. All right, see, some of you aren't even sure about that. That's, you know, come on, guys. We're talking about the law of gravity now. How many people know about the law of gravity? It really works. How many know it works every time you work it? If I let go of this, is gravity really going to bring it to pass? Is it really going to cause this to fall down? For those that did not believe, there for you this morning is a sign and wonder. A sign and a wonder brought to you from gravity. Friend, faith is that reliable. Faith is that reliable. If we believe, he said, you will never be put to shame. If you believe, you will never be put to shame. God will come through for you. And it don't matter how bad it looks. You know, because there's been things I've believed for. And you didn't see things change right away. In fact, some things, you know, it years. And there's been things that have persisted. Negative. But you know what? No matter how much negative things persist, the word of God still persists. And I can find in the Bible what God says about it, and I can persist in my believing and say, nope, it's going to be the way he said it. And if you stand fast in your faith, you will see the glory of God. You will see the deliverance of God. You'll see the healing of God. You'll see the power of God. You'll see the goodness of God manifest in your life. You'll see it. And I'm not sure about it. Well, we see that's the doubt we got to get out. We got to get that doubt out. We got to get that doubt out. Let me close with this last scripture here over in 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. He says in verse 14, now this is the confidence. Everybody say confidence. That we have in him. Friend, we should have a lot of confidence about us because we're in him. Like a branch is in the vine, we're in him. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. I'll see again, so, well, see, you just don't know if it's his will. Well, no, that's not true. Otherwise, if that was true, you wouldn't have confidence. when you asked. If you never knew what the will of God is, if you end all your prayers with, if it be thy will, if you end all your prayers with that, you're not going to have confidence when you pray, right? See, Jesus prayed that in the garden before going to the cross. He said, Father, if there's any way this cup can pass from me, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And Jesus had to persist a little bit on that. He prayed it three times in the garden. I mean, he was really dealing with some serious temptation and stress concerning what he was about to go through. But you know what? When Jesus walked out of that garden, he knew the answer. He didn't walk out of there not sure if God was going to take it away or not. He walked out of that garden knowing exactly what the will of the Lord was, and he stood up with total confidence, and he understood this is the will of God. And that's why he was able to endure what he went through, because he knew he was doing the will of God. So even in when Jesus asked, if it be thy will, he knew what the will was before he walked out of his prayer closet. Before he ended prayer, he understood. We walk around never knowing. Well, you never know with God. Sometimes he does, sometimes he don't. No. Thank God through the Bible we know. This is his will. Come on. And he's not just telling us his will. He has written it down for us. And I'm glad. I like things being written down. How about you? You know, my wife's told me some things I needed to do. And sometimes you forget, you know. Not that you don't love her, but you just forget. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Thank God, God knew where we were at and he wrote it down. And we can always go back and look it up. Check on it. Praise God. It's written. It is written. It's a legal document. It's written, stamped, sealed through the blood of Jesus. We can have confidence that whatever we ask, if we ask anything according to his will or according to his word, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we have asked of him. That's the confidence we have. As children of God, this is a confidence that whatever we ask, we know we have it. Why? He hears me. He hears me. He hears me. Why does he hear me? Because he loves me. He can't get his mind off me. God's infatuated with me. He loves me. He died for me. He died for you. He came for you. That's why he was born. He was born for you. So you can have authority in his name in life to rule and reign. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. It's good to be saved. It's good to be born of God. It's good to be washed in the blood of Jesus. It's good to be right in the sight of God. We have confidence now. We go through this life confident. Somebody say, I'm not a victim. I will not be a victim. But I am more than a conqueror through him who loved me and gave his life for me. Do you believe he gave his life for you? Praise God. Why don't we stand on our feet? Let's just receive that from him afresh this morning. If you have never received this gift of eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ, now's the time to do it. Now it's Christmas time. It's time. It's time to receive the greatest gift of all. Receive of God's great love. And let the devil know when you walk out of here today, you're not his property anymore. You're not going where he's going. You're not going to spend eternity in hell. You're going to spend eternity in heaven. You're going to live forever with God. And you're going to live as more than a conqueror in this life. Hallelujah. Come on, let's just ask him right now. Together, say, Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his life that he gave it for me. I receive what he's done for me. I receive this Christmas gift from heaven, from you, right now. It's mine. I will never let it go. Thank you, God, for washing away all my crimes, all my sins, and making me righteous right in your sight. I am clean. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Why don't you guys play that song?
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.